Hello, everyone, and welcome to another night of Fandom Access. I am your ever faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So, ladies, I'm sure she'll be here any moment. We've all been texting each other all day. It's going to be a short show tonight. Well, not the ladies. It's just Karen and me. Unless Jamie changed her mind, I don't think she's coming by tonight because we only have the gifted and manifest to speak of. So, just going to be the two of us. Quick show. We'll get back on track next week. Yeah. So, Karen in. Hello.
Hello, AJ. How are you?
Good. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. Do you hear Speedy saying hello? No?
No, I did not.
Oh, she's very irritated. Crying. She does not like when Phantom Access interferes with cat dinner time. So, I had to be out of the house all day, and I just got home, and she's kind of mad. I have plenty of time on the train to text you and Jamie and prepare for the show. Do not have time to text the cat. You can't text.
Gotcha.
So, anyway, short show.
Funny.
Almost nothing was on this week, right?
Yeah.
Why was Counterpart not on?
I don't know. And that's what I was just going to say. I didn't even know it wasn't on until I went to watch it, and it wasn't
me
there.
Me too.
So I was where's Counterpart?
Me too. I went to watch it, and it wasn't there. And I thought, why is Stars, like, not showing it? Particularly, like, they showed it over Christmas and New Year's. I mean, granted, it was Sunday, not Tuesday, the holiday. But I don't know why it wasn't on. I was really disappointed, and I thought I was crazy. So.
Well.
Anyway, that gives us a short show this week. So.
Yes.
Jamie's not here because. Nothing she watches was on. Yeah.
So, do you want to start with mutants or crazy people?
Gee, it's a tough one, huh? Let's start with the crazy people from Manifest.
Yes.
Right? That's what you mean by crazy people.
Yeah, I couldn't think of a better way to describe them.
Yeah, so they are. And Manifest is, you know, it's back from... It's winter hiatus, and I kind of wondered if it was going to be different or a new chapter, and it seems to be largely, you know, the same. I mean, even though Vance is gone, we sort of are on the same, I don't know. So this week was the episode with the pilot, and the pilot trying to figure out what happened so he can clear his name, because everybody blames him. I didn't think this was the greatest... I mean, it wasn't a really good calling. There really almost was no calling this week. The calling was very minimal.
No, it really wasn't.
Right? Which is too bad because the calling is one of the more interesting parts of it, kind of a key to the whole thing. And
really
we got nothing.
You say that. Because I remember when the callings first started, you were not crazy about them.
No. I wasn't, and I'm not sure I am, but it's the thing now. And you know, so Michaela's calling. Michaela's story went nowhere this week. Like, Michaela's calling, we only actually had one, I think she had one incident of seeing the hands in the snow, and that was it. Her calling went nowhere, and her storyline with Jared went nowhere. Like, I was kind of surprised that after this big, big thing last week where, you know, she sleeps with him and whatever, like nothing, basically nothing. I mean, there was a little bit of awkwardness, right? But, I mean, what did you think of that? Were you surprised? Did you want to learn more about that? Are you happy we didn't learn more about that?
Honestly, it was kind of nice to not just be focused on Ben or Michaela. It was kind of nice that they gave the entire episode to the pilot, especially since he isn't going to be around anytime soon, it seems. So it's kind of nice to veer off a little bit in another direction of the story, because that's one thing you and I both agreed on when the show first started was we wanted to, you know, see more of the other passengers, you know? And
yes.
I thought it was,
yeah.
I was very surprised at the ending that it actually went down the way it did, because I figured the pilot was minor, but I didn't expect the science lady to disappear. I didn't, you know what I mean? I didn't expect her to be removed from the show, which I, and you know, looking back at it though, it actually kind of makes sense that they removed her from the equation, because she kind of, I don't want to say she had the answers, but she had the possibility of having the answers. And it was kind of like, anytime you needed something explained, you had her, you know what I mean? Like, cause she's an expert on all this. So her leaving the show for however long they're gone, actually kind of worked when I thought back about it. Now that, I mean, it, basically what this episode does is it gets our, you know, it really makes us question, okay, what really happened to Flight 828, you know, because we see some kind of boom, but that could have been him, the captain, being right, and they now just vaulted 5 years into the future again, or however many, you know, in that he's right. Or the F-16 shot him down, which, and then now they can't find the wreckage, which kind of leads me to believe one of two things. Either they shot him down and the government's covering it up saying, we can't find it, or they really, he's right, and this storm has something to do with everything.
So, I mean, I think he's kind of right, and the storm has everything to do with it, or whatever was going on there, because I just can't believe that. Excuse me, I'm going to sneeze. Give me 1 second here. sorry, I'm getting over a little bit of a head cold. I just can't believe that two more characters have disappeared without, like, Vance was killed without us really seeing his body, and I'm not convinced that Vance is dead.
Right.
And now for two more characters to have been killed without really seeing their death, it is a little too much. And I think that the F-16 probably didn't shoot them down, and maybe they managed to go forward in time, which on the one hand, it's a little too much that, oh, he just happened to find Black Lightning at the exact right moment and go forward in time. But it's a little, I mean, God, I hate that we compare every show to Lost, but it reminded me very much of Lost when they decide they're going to board the Ajira flight and see if they can bloop to the island again, right? And that's exactly what happens. And I think that's what happened. I think that while the pilot was really a minor character, you know, I mean, like a C or a D character until this episode, the scientist, whose name I want to say is like Christina or Claudia or something like that.
I always forget her name.
Yeah, which tells you a lot about her character, right? That we can't remember her name, and she's a little, you know, have they blooped to the future? Have they, whatever happened? I don't think they were shot down by an F-16, because I just don't think that's where the story is going, right?
Right.
Yeah. I think they blooped. They blooped somewhere or something, or they got captured and that was made to look like a bloop. I don't know.
Especially since the weather specialist guy turned up dead 5 minutes after they got done. Getting the information to them. And I'll tell you what, I'm kind of over the mole. I'm glad they figured it out. It was her. Cause I don't know, that storyline bothers me a lot. I don't know what it is, but there's just something like, I, you know, I like that they've given her conflict and she kind of, you know, become a little wishy-washy about, you know, serving the purpose. You know, I mean, she starts out, you know, she agrees to help them because keeps her out of jail. And I don't know, it's just that part of the story is weak. The whole mole thing is very weak.
It's weak in part because, so her name is, well, her name is, what's her name? Michelle McKay. I forget her name also, the mole.
Yeah, I don't know her name either.
Chelsea, I don't know. I think her story is weak because, in part, she wasn't established very strongly. Like, we didn't see how they extorted her. Like, we didn't know her motivation until this week. And so I didn't really, like, I agree with you that I didn't really feel like where her story was going, and they only just this week explained how she was compromised into betraying her fellow passengers. And I felt it was weak. Like, she's like, oh, while I was missing, she's like, I did some bad shit. And while I was gone for 5 years, my friend stole my identity and committed a bunch of crimes in my name. But she made it sound like it was like theft or scam. Or, like, it didn't seem like it was a big enough reason to be complicit in torturing 20 people who were like, you know, those people were kept in a basement, given electroshocks in their brain, completely tortured and left comatose. And I just feel like her crime, whatever it was, isn't worth what happened, what she did. And that she's like, oh, they stole my name. I could have, like, I want to turn over. And, like, I feel her motivation is not adequate for what she's complicit in.
Right. I completely agree.
Maybe if she was somebody who had, maybe if she had legit killed someone, or maybe if she had, I don't know. I just feel like there could have been worse things she did for the government to compromise her. Because I think it's pretty easy to be like, I was missing for 5 years. Clearly I didn't commit these crimes for the last 5 years. Like, how hard is it to like get out of that when you, right?
Right.
So I feel like her motivation is not clear. And I feel like she hasn't been given enough to do. Like, mostly she stands around looking suspicious. She doesn't talk that much. She doesn't really, you know, have that much action. She mostly just stands around, and then, like, creepy government guys come and hand her a phone. So she's not, she's a bad storyline. And I agree with you that I was glad to see her make a move to tell Michaela almost. And then she appears to have, and to turn in a child, right? Like, not only has she, like, been complicit in the torture and abuse of 20 people, now she has, kidnapped a child or turned in a child to the evil people. We don't know that. You're right.
That's part of the big mystery at the end. Another part of the mystery at the end of the episode is, you know, did Cal, you know, did he see it coming and he ran? Or did they get him? I get the feeling, because the window was open, that he ran. I think the government would have been more, I don't want to say forward, but I don't think it would have been such a, I don't know. I feel like Cal took off. I don't know.
Like, the government would have sent, like, they would send, like, a mysterious black ops team and just grab him. They wouldn't, like, sneak in the window, right? Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
I feel
exactly.
So how did you feel in that scene about, how did you feel about Grace in that moment when she walks in and she can't find him?
You know how I feel about Grace to begin with.
Yeah.
So, it was weird. It definitely was weird. I was getting an uneasy feeling the whole time with it. Like, I couldn't comprehend what the hell was going on. Like, she just, I don't know, she seemed, I guess the word I want to use is off.
I kind of felt like she's dumb. Like, I felt like this is what your husband has been telling you for a long time. Like, you didn't notice that your kid was unusual. You wouldn't listen to your husband that he's trying to keep them safe. Like, I just felt like Grace has been like, is Grace on a different show? Like, does Grace not like know anything that has happened to Michaela and to Cal and to Ben all this time? And she's like, and Ben, he has repeatedly said every week, everything I do is to keep Cal safe. And then she's like, you got to get out of the house. Oh, my God, Cal's. I just felt like, really, really, Grace, like, this is the natural conclusion of your idiocy for the last season, right? I just felt like, duh, when I watched that. Of course he's been kidnapped, Grace. What, are you stupid?
Plus.
Kidnapped, fled. The kid has gone missing before.
Yeah. Plus that mystery, that conversation between Grace and Michaela earlier about how, you know, I'm rooting for you guys and, you know, he really does love you. And she's like, oh, I love him too. And I'm rooting for us too. And I'm like, but you told him he had a, like, it didn't feel real. Like, it didn't feel,
right.
Well, not real is not the right word. It didn't feel believable because, I'm sorry, but she clearly has better chemistry, and I could see the emotion between her and Danny, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas her and Ben just, I don't know why they got married in the first place, because I've never seen or understood any of it. And
right.
I've been saying
and
since
she doesn't,
the get-go.
Yep, she doesn't appear to be a person who's fighting for the marriage. Like, even though I'm not crazy about Ben, I kind of feel him fighting for the marriage more than I feel great, like Grace. I mean, I get that she's torn and she loves Danny also, I guess, because the show tells me that. But she's like, oh, I'm fighting for us. I'm rooting for us also. I'm like, really? I don't think you've been rooting for Ben since the moment he got back. Like, I feel like you have only been like, oh, shit, my husband's back
yeah.
since day one.
Exactly. Exactly.
Which I get that she said goodbye. He was dead. He was buried. He was gone. She's put that behind her, but she's not, the show is not allowing her to like be that person or the actress is not being that person that put
right.
him out of her mind and buried him. And now he's back. I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah she's horrible.
The whole Grace story is, oh, every part of it has always been problematic. You know, but I mean, every show
yeah.
can have their issues. I just, it's almost like she's the character they don't know what quite to do with. Ooh,
right.
We're going to have this really, you know, and then, you know, they get it on the screen and they go, the hell do we do with her now? Like,
yeah,
she's just so, she's uneven. That's, I guess,
yeah.
you know, the best way I could think to put it.
I did feel better. I did feel better chemistry between Jared and Michaela this week. And I don't necessarily mean between those characters, but I think the actors were better at playing awkwardness and weirdness than they have been before. Like I haven't previously felt the like tension of unrequited love between them as I probably should have.
Right.
Like we know that Michaela's, you know, she's unrequited love. She loves him. She lied. She's pretending to be okay with it. I didn't really feel it. And I felt it a little more like when he comes to the office and he's like, oh, hey, Michaela. And he holds her hand, which first of all is so inappropriate. Even if there was no awkwardness, like you're at work. He behaves a little inappropriately friendly. She backs off and she's worried about her friend. And like that scene, I felt it better than I have for the entire season, probably.
He's acting very much like he's in high school.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
hey,
we slept together.
Got,
now you're my girlfriend again. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And no thought about Lourdes. He's like, oh, what about Lourdes? We'll just, what, you know, what we're gonna tell her? What? You're married to her. She wants to have a baby. Like. Yeah, he was very, you're right, he was a very one-dimensional response, and no, you know, Michaela had to remind him, oh, you're married to my best friend. But I felt the, if not the attraction, I still don't see the chemistry of the attraction between them, but I felt the awkwardness, and I guess I felt Michaela's, you know, tension better than I have previously. I'm a little, I don't know, I don't really want to watch a show about that, right? Like, I'm much more interested in the mystery and the sci-fi part of it than the love story. I'm interested in the love story in as much as, like, what it means to be gone for 5 years and come back. I don't really particularly care about Jared's feelings or, you know, I'm more interested in what Michaela goes through. But so in that this show has multiple, like, difficult romantic relationships, I'm interested in them more like, I don't know, on like a intellectual level than like I really care about those couples, I guess.
Right.
And I'm really
not interested in
Ben and Grace at all.
You know, I mean, we need character development, obviously, because otherwise it's just story, you know. I mean, we're going to – Karen and I are going to watch The Passage and talk about it next week because we didn't realize it was on this week. So Jamie will return
yeah.
with that. She's already watched it. You know, but real quick, just to give an idea, Karen, when we were all texting today, Jamie, you know, I said to her, I was like, I really didn't have interest in the passage, but I'll check it out since you said it was good. But I did read one review saying that the character development, you know, Jamie made a comment that it's going to get more sci-fi and less character development. And I was like, I read the one problem with the show was there was zero character development in the first three episodes.
Right.
You know?
And I've so not, I, so, and I have, yep. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, so, because we always like shows about good characters. Like, that's what draws us to a show like Lost or to a show like The Expanse or Counterpart or whatever. It's really the characters that I think we enjoy talking about on our show and why we watch these shows.
Right, and that's the thing, because without that character development, it's a B-movie. You know what I mean? If we don't care about the characters, but we like the sci-fi of it, I mean, perfect example, Night Flyers, you know? You know, it was just, the sci-fi aspect was, it was a fun watch while I stomached it. but
yeah,
ultimately it was just.
Yeah. And I think on Manifest.
It had no character.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things about Manifest that we have complained about repeatedly is that Cal, who appears to be like the central character, the key to the whole mystery, is the least developed character on the entire show, right? Like, Cal is like a plot device. Like, the kid has no development whatsoever.
Really,
and I think the two best developed characters on the show are Olive and Danny, who are incidental side characters to Ben's storyline.
Yeah.
Danny's the best, right? I mean, Daniel Sujata, he's the best actor on the show. Daniel Sujata, that's his name, right? He's the best actor on the show, of course.
Yeah.
But his character, like, I understand his motivation more than almost anyone's. And I think Olive, they've given a lot of screen time and a lot of attention to her character, and she's a good actress also. And I... like, those are the two best characters, and they're B characters, they're side characters, right?
Yeah.
Bad.
It's funny that they gave so much time, you know, so much raw emotion and everything to these side characters. But, while they gave us backstory to Ben and Michaela, they haven't quite given us the emotion with them. You know what I mean? Like, they haven't given them that raw character development that we need. And it's weird. I mean, who knows? Maybe it's partly the direction they're getting, partly the actors themselves, you know, Daniel Sinjata and the young girl that plays Olive, they're bringing something themselves to it that's giving us that character that we want and need. Or at least learning about. Whereas, for whatever reason, the actors that play Ben and Michaela just haven't quite made us give a shit yet. Like, I don't want to say I haven't given a shit because it's gotten better. But,
yeah.
You know, like we said, it's lacking.
I thought the pilot was fairly well characterized for a guy that really has had one and a half episodes. Right? He really was, like, I understood him. I understood why he was so, like, why he was feeling so depressed and desperate, why he wanted to clear his name, where he was coming from. Like, I got all that. And I think, and as you just said, you did too, right? Like, you got him, like, you felt him. And he had very little time to impress us. Pretty much understood why he was like, no, I'm doing it. It's possible for a character with less screen time to do it, but I need them to do a better job with Cal, because I have a hard time caring about Cal right now. I mean, I should care about a kid, okay, but I have a hard time caring about Cal or understanding him as a person. I feel like Cal's a plot device that when it's necessary, he draws a picture that shows something. And when it's necessary, his calling, like, acts up. But the kid has no, like, we've really gotten almost no story of what it's like for that kid to come back after 5 years. And his friends have all grown up, and his sister's grown up, and he had he had cancer, now he doesn't have cancer, and like that's almost like a nothing story. Like, why does he even have cancer? It's like a non-story.
Yeah, and it's funny because when we first, you know, first couple episodes, we're like, wow, this is going to be so powerful. Him have, you know, his sister is 5 years older than him, and you know, and all this, and we're just sitting here going, when's it going to happen?
Mm-hmm. He's a real plot device. They need to work on him and Ben. Yeah. But you're right. You commented that it's better, and I do think it's better. Some things have improved, and it's going in. Look, remember how much I hated it the first like 2 or 3 weeks. And I was like, I'm not watching this. This show sucks.
Yeah.
And it grew on me a little bit. And I guess characters can be a little boring, but still likable. And I can still, like, have hope of where the show is going to go.
Yeah, it's not the worst thing out there. And the story, you know, is enough to keep us while we're – you know what? That's the problem is because we were, fans of all these other shows like Lost and Expanse and stuff like that, we know that there's character development out there.
Yeah.
We've
watched a lot of bad high concept shows like Under the Dome, which was horrible.
Whoa.
The Crossing.
You guys watched
The Crossing.
You guys
watched. Well, you watched a couple. The Crossing was bad.
I gave it a chance.
Yeah, The Event was bad. Flash Forward, Flashpoint, whatever. Bad.
Flash Forward, yep.
And you know, Revolution, bad. And this show is, you know.
Revolution. I wanted to like Revolution so much.
I wanted to like that too. And Manifest is hanging on. So we're going to keep watching it for the rest of the season and see whatever. And we have some hope for these characters.
And
I have hope for
too.
These back. That we have hope for these characters,
you know,
that we don't
shows,
like, but we have hope.
Well, no. These shows that we just mentioned. These bad high concept shows and Manifest is better than all of those.
Yeah. Yeah. And we watch a lot of high concept shows that had a really good first season and a bad second season. Shows like Wayward Pines, shows like Persons Unknown, which never got a second season. And so I think that Manifest probably is in that category where it might get renewed. It seems to be a hit for NBC, which, you know, NBC has some
low
standards, but
it's the number one new show on TV, not just NBC.
Okay.
All of TV. Well, network.
So,
you know.
Network.
Network, not,
Well, you know, it helps to watch the show when we have hope that it might have a future and go a little further and improve, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I give this not
right.
a thumbs up or a thumbs down. I give it a thumb medium, and we'll see next week. All right, you want to move on?
Yeah.
To The Gifted?
That's the other show.
Oh, my God. I thought of you so much while I was watching The Gifted this week. And I thought of our conversation last week about Jace. And we talked about, is Jace going to have – we thought Jace might have a moment where he might, like, turn – I don't want to say turn good, but he might, like, turn towards the more understanding, compassionate side of himself. And then he seemed to turn away. And then he seemed to turn back. Like, this character is all over the place, right?
Which is what makes him great.
What do
you know?
Yeah.
What?
I mean, where do you think he is right now? So we saw this week, just to recap, that he's still with his hate group, the Purifiers. I mean, I think they're a hate group. I call them a hate group. He's very sensitive to that. And they go and raid a children's home, like a youth home. Which is pretty shitty in its own right to do that. They heard some mutants were in there. They go in. Jace seems to be like, okay, we're just going to talk. We're not going to do anything. And then his, like, crazy friend, like, kills a kid sitting in his chair for like no reason. To recap, Jace seems to be really upset by that. He seems that that it's unacceptable, and at the last minute he covers for the guy, and lies, so that guy won't have to go to prison. I was kind of.
Go ahead.
I was kind of surprised in light of our conversation last week where we talked about, is he going to like have his come to Jesus moment and realize that he's going down a bad path, or is he committed to this? And we talked about it, and we talked about we've been expecting him to have this moment where he'd realize, and he never has it. And maybe he's fully committed to his path. And this week I thought had multiple surprises. Like I wasn't really sure what he was going to do. What did you think? Was it predictable? Were you unsure? Where do you think he is?
I wasn't sure, and I'm still not sure. I mean, you can see the conflict in him when he's being interviewed by IA.
Oh, yeah.
He's conflicted, you know? And, I mean, the first thing he walks in, he's like, what did you do? He goes, wait, why is there blood on the chair? You know, he's like, oh, he attacked me. He's like, I'll be – you know, and I think the thing that got Jace to lie was he says – if I go to prison for this, I'll be a cop in prison. He's like, they'll kill me. And I think that is what got Jace to back his story because...
But that's not cool, right? Like,
no, I'm not saying it's right by any means.
I know. I think you're right. I felt that moment also when the guy says, I'll be a cop in prison. You know what they'll do to me? Because, yeah, Jace had been like... He didn't attack you. He was sitting in his chair. There's blood in his chair. You attacked him like you murdered him. The guy's like, oh, I'll be a cop in jail. You know what they'll do to me. And then Jace, like, covers for him. And it was never explained. Like, Jace never articulates why he did that. So it's left to you and me to interpret why he did that.
Well, yeah. And I don't think I could see maybe not next week necessarily, but at some point, if we don't get it next week, where him and I can't remember the cop's name, Billy or something, they have a conversation and he like gives Jace a hard time about something, and Jace like snap and be like, I covered for you. You murdered a kid and I lied for you. Shut the hell up. You know,
that
I could see it like that type of conversation with them. So, I mean, Jace is definitely conflicted. And then his wife calls after she sees him on the show.
After he goes on the like supremacist, like human supremacist, like hate show, and he's like a hero on the television, and his wife calls and is basically like, oh, you're out protecting children, which is not what's happening. They were out murdering children.
Yeah.
Right. She's like, oh, how you saved those kids in that home. That was so great. Let's talk, which I felt kind of really like I lost a little respect for the wife. Not that the wife's a very minor character, but the wife has had a real through line of why it's very clear why she has left Jace. And I felt a little bit for her to be like, oh, I saw you on TV and you're out there protecting children. I felt like maybe the wife, maybe it was slightly out of character for the wife, but she's barely a character. So I can't really complain about that. But for the wife to be like,
yeah, I can see what you mean. The only thing with that I will say is it proves that he was right. You know, I mean, part of it with her was, JC, you know, you need to stop this. This needs to end. Enough is enough already. But at the same time, he's right. You know,
except
and she
he wasn't
sees that
right.
Now. So part of her is, well, no. I mean,
like,
but everything he was, I mean, this incident, no, is not even close. But in her eyes, because she doesn't know the whole truth, it looks like Jace has been right this whole time. And she also doesn't realize how lost he is, you know. But from her perspective, mm-hmm. with the with why they're getting divorced, you know, it looks like, oh my God, what did I do? He's, you know, he's out there protecting people, and he was right. And, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So from her perspective, I do see what you mean. It's kind of a quick 180. I think it was more of a plot move so that Jace, because he feels so awful about what happened, can turn around and be like...
Yeah, because the wife, whose name is... Yeah, the wife, I forget her name. It's like Joy or I forget her name.
Yeah.
But the wife has been very clear, like, the wife is more like, you're obsessed. This is not going to bring our child back. You've got to let go of the hate. You've got to, like, let's move away. Like, the wife is it has always been like, you know, you're not going to bring our kid back, and you're not going to, like, let it go. And so I guess, yeah, I just felt a little like for her to see him on TV, like he's basically on like Fox News for like 2 minutes. I'm like, oh, he's a hero. He's been out there like, you know, like being a vigilante basically. And for her to call and be like, oh, you're out there protecting children. Like, I just felt like he hasn't dropped it. He hasn't moved on. He's still upset. Like all her reasons for divorcing him were not. I just felt it was a little superficial for the wife to see him on television and be like, oh, now we're going to, now I want to, let's meet. You know, I felt it was a little, but whatever, you're right. It had to be a little bit of a plot device. The wife is a minor character, and it was important for it to happen for us to see Jace, like, have this moment where his wife is coming, is, like, making an overture to him, not coming back, but his wife is, like, cracks the door a little bit, and he knows it's a lie. I was kind of surprised that he started to cry and hung up. Like because he's a guy who lied about a man who killed a child and he lies to cover for that guy, I kind of expected he'd lie to his wife and say, yeah, let's meet. Yeah, let's. And he can't do it. And he cries and he's like, I can't talk to you right now. That was also surprising.
That didn't really surprise me because I think in his mind, he doesn't deserve her because –
He doesn't.
You know, because he knows what he did was wrong. He, you know, he, you know, did this act, you know, to save the cop from going to prison, but he knows what he did was wrong, you know? I mean, I think the conflict is very clear and obvious with him. I mean, you saw how
long he hesitated
when he
talked to
the
CIA. And that cop is a bad guy. Like, that, it's not like that guy is a good cop who made a bad mistake. That guy wanted to torture...
Right.
Thunderbird last week. He's like, let's get out the power tools. Let's torture him. Let's, you know, like that guy is not a good guy. And I wasn't really sure why when he says I'm a cop, I'll be in prison. You know what they'll do to me. I wasn't sure if Jace like went along with it. Like, I was like, did he go along with it because he's a cop and there's like the thin blue line and like cops have to stick together and that's why he did it. Or did he go along with it because like, for this guy to go to jail won't bring that kid back. Like, his wife's always saying, like, you won't bring our daughter. Like, did he do it because of, like, a bad reason? Not that, like, cuffs together is a bad reason. I don't mean that. But did he do it because of, like, the superficial reason of, like, oh, cops got to sit together, he'll get killed, and I got to be the good guy? Or did he do it because, like, what's really going to be served by this guy being killed in prison? It's not going to fix what happened. And they didn't give Jace a chance to articulate that this week, and maybe they will next week.
Right. Well, yeah.
Or
I mean,
maybe
I
never.
It, you know, because it was the end of the episode. It was kind of. I definitely think, like I said, it was going to be that moment where he kind of loses it on the guy. And it was kind of, you know, and of course it was one of those "ooh, look what Jace did" moments because it was, you know, the episode's wrapping up, and you kind of see where everybody, you know, where everybody's at the end of the episode type of thing.
Yeah.
So, what did you think about the whole? Let's go to the other side of things now. What did you think about everything with Lorna going to Carlos and saying, "Hey, I need a hand."
This week, wait, she went back to Carlos this week for another reason. I can't remember. So they already went and is this when they went underground and went to the Morlocks this week?
Yeah, because
I can't
they're
remember
trying to
why.
Find out what Reva's up to.
Because Reva
hired those three mutants that had something to do with some cruise liner massacre.
Oh, right, yeah. And I did feel that this week, I felt like Lorna's story contrasted kind of really well with Jace's, and I felt like this week the theme was about, like, how far are you willing to go? What will you put up with? And while Lorna was really, like, Lorna draws the line at killing innocent people. Lorna wanted to create a homeland for mutants, and she was willing to, like, have collateral damage of – she's like a person – she's almost like a soldier who's willing to kill other soldiers but won't kill civilians. And so Lorna draws the
right.
line at the murder of like 1,000 innocent people. And then we have the storyline where Jace is willing to accept the murder of a child. And I felt that was a good contrast there. I'm okay with, I'm getting Lorna's conflict and tension. I'm not sure where, like, you know where she goes in the comic book, and I'm not sure if she's going to become,
well,
like in the X-Men
like
universe, she
week,
could become a hero or a villain.
Like I told you last week, they're using characters from the comics. The storyline-wise, they're just kind of, you know, they're using some backstory and some things that have happened in the comics, but they're really not. Like I said, in the comics, Lorna is older, and she's, you know, been the leader of X Factor at one point. You know,
she's been an X-Man.
You know,
yeah.
I don't think her and Carlos have ever met in the comics. Let's put it that way. You know what I mean? So it's completely different.
So I think she misses Carlos, wants to get back with Carlos. I think she's realizing that sacrificing her relationship with Carlos, separating Carlos from his child, murdering innocent people, like she's realizing she has a line to draw. And I loved, I kind of liked how, did I love? No, I liked how Jace had this other storyline. And I feel like Caitlin also was at that line this week. Like we saw Caitlin and Lauren. Caitlin was at a point where she was like, hey, go ahead and like kill the landlord if you have to, it's fine. And Reed was like, you can't kill the landlord, he's innocent. I mean, I'm oversimplifying it. They didn't actually have the conversation, right? But this idea where Caitlin was like, you do whatever you have to do to protect this family. And Reed was like, you know, he's a much more, it's funny because, you know, Caitlin is a little bit more like Jace in some ways. And Reed is a little more of a pacifist in some ways, considering that he's also a mutant, you know?
Mm-hmm. That was definitely, yeah, it's funny, we have a lot of characters who are going through similar things, but they're all reacting differently. Talk about character development.
Right? These characters are so developed. They develop all over the place every week.
The stuff with Lorna and Carlos I thought was really great because, you know, I don't feel, you know, you can tell they haven't stopped loving each other. You know what I mean? Like that was never the problem. It's that their beliefs on how to get to their end goal are different, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think Lorna in some ways probably thought that she could go fight with Reva. They would achieve their goal of a homeland. And I think part of her really thought that Carlos would see that she was right and they could be together again. Like she had this, like, I think she had this like idealized thing in her head where she didn't think she never thought she was breaking up with Carlos forever. Really.
Right.
She had this idea that they could, you know, was this the episode where Carlos almost kissed the Morlock girl and then he like backed off and was like, no, I can't.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause he's still totally in love with Lorna and he's in love with Lorna and he's in love with their family. Right? He's in love with, like, he wants Dawn back and wants to be a family.
Yeah.
Which is totally fair.
And I think that's part of Carlos's problem is, you know, he is still in love with Lorna, obviously, but he's angry with her because, you know, from his point of view, it's how could she do this, you know? If she loves me, she wouldn't have left to go be with people that murder a bank full of people and say it's okay. You know, and Andy, little girlfriend there, she made a mistake. Screw you, Andy.
She didn't make a mistake. She was a psycho who killed a bunch of people. Yeah, Andy's very, we saw very little or zero of Andy this week. It was mostly about Lauren and the development of her personality and powers. I mean, I do think they tried to show that as Andy, but I think that music, so I didn't like the music box storyline, in part because we see the flashback and her ancestor makes this music box and he's like, oh, did you make the secret part? And the guy's like, oh yeah, it's a very, very secret part and very ingenious. And then Lauren, like in 1 second is like, boop, there's a piece of paper in here. So that was kind of stupid. And she finds a piece of paper that somehow, oh, she finds the two pieces of hair, right? Somehow the braided hair of her two ancestors is making her more powerful, which seems a little bit dumb, but her powers are increasing, and her nightmares are, it was interesting because we didn't see so much of Andy, and we've always seen Andy and Lauren as being like two sides of the same coin. And if her powers increase, I would assume that his powers are increasing also, right? And who's driving it and where's it going? But Lauren's definitely more powerful right now than she used to be. I'm not saying she's more powerful than Andy, she's more powerful than she used to be, right?
I like her new power, slicing and dicing things.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool.
Yeah, but she's become kind of mean, right? She's like, listen, Mr. Landlord.
Well, I don't think – here's the thing. I get the feeling that she's possessed.
By her ancestor?
By her ancestor. I feel like that hair is even though she was murdered, is somehow still embodying her power. Like that's not Lauren. Lauren's not going to go to the landlord like that and threaten him. That's not who she is.
Yeah.
And to see that transpire, I was like, something's not, and I felt like that the whole time. I kept saying to Artie, I was like, something's not right because, as soon as she found it, I was like, I get the feeling she's somehow being possessed or controlled by the ancestor.
Well, the music box was giving her nightmares. Like I felt like the music was and she'd have these nightmares and she'd be like exhibiting her powers in her nightmares. And the music, even like her parents were like, she's obsessed with that music box. What's that all about? That's creepy and weird. Even before she found the locks of hair.
You want to hear something funny, actually? The first couple notes of the music box is the theme song of the X-Men cartoon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And you know that because you guys watched that, right?
I used to.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
I think Lauren is probably going to maybe have a darker... I don't think Lauren will ever become dark, at least not this season. I feel like Lauren is the lighter of the twin, of the brother and sister. I wonder if, her brother will somehow save her, I still feel like Reed's powers are this unexplored part of the story that have to come back. There's no way Reed got powers and they're subdued and that's it, right? Like Reed's powers have to come back.
I agree, but I gotta tell you, I'm not a fan of the Reed power storyline.
I'm not either.
It seems shoehorned in.
It's funny because I did not really mind the storyline where his father tried to subdue the X gene in him and tortured him and put it I didn't mind that. I kind of got that, and then it skipped his generation but his kids still had it. I got all that. But Reed's powers suddenly manifesting when he's 48 years old and then suddenly being subdued by drugs. It just really doesn't make sense. He exhibits zero connection with his kids over their powers, right? For Reed to suddenly get powers, there was a moment several weeks ago where Andy's like, oh, you have powers, Dad? That's cool. And there was a moment where the story felt organic and to make sense, and then it went away again. Reed has no... his storyline of having powers has no connection with anybody else. It makes he hasn't learned anything. His wife hasn't learned anything. His kids haven't learned anything. It just hasn't gone anywhere, right? There was that stupid side trip to the lab where they were going to use Lauren's blood for whatever, and that seemed to be like a nothing side trip for three episodes, and then it was gone.
Yeah, it got Reed to subdue his powers temporarily, basically.
They have to be coming back. He's going to have to learn to control them.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, and that's the reason I kind of have trouble with it because, all right, every mutant, most mutants, they manifest when they're teenagers generally,
Yeah.
And
yeah.
As a teenager, you are angst ridden, you are confused, you're not only, you know, your body's changing and now you have these mutant powers, you know, and your powers are very emotionally driven. You know, so it's, I mean, it's like most things. It's,
yeah.
You better have something happen to you when you're a kid because, you know, it's easier to, you have more time to adjust and whatnot.
Yeah, it all makes sense.
I get that, you know, that they're trying to say, you know, like, I mean, John even says to him, you know, you're older now, it's different, you know, whatever. But at the same time, Reed's a grown man. And he's acting like a child. Like, he's not acting like a grown man. You know what I mean?
He's acting worse than a child.
Like,
Andy and Lauren
like
both reacted better. Like, Andy was less of a baby when he realized, okay, Andy's pretty bad. But, yeah, Reed's acting like a big baby. Considering that Reed has known about mutants, you know, he was a prosecutor. He was with Sentinel Services. He's not completely without knowledge about what it means to be a mutant. And he's a whiner. He's like, oh, I can't get in the way. I can't. Yeah, he's a – I also don't like – I kind of have always liked the storyline of Caitlin and Reed being the parents of mutant children and used to be a prosecutor. How do they – like, I don't – Andy and Lauren are clearly the main characters of the show, and I'm not seeing how Reed's powers figure into the storyline. I mean, now they're suppressed. They don't figure at all, right? Like, I don't know what I'm going to get out of the story about Reed having powers.
Finding out that his powers had been suppressed by his father was good enough of a storyline for him. You know what I mean? Like, that's all I needed from the storyline. I didn't need, you know, for his powers to come back and start. It just, I think that's the part that I'm having trouble with is he's destroying everything. And he's, you know, kids, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't, you know, kids are like, he's a grown man who has accomplished a lot in his life. And for him to sit there whining on the floor, I can't do it. I can't control it. I can't stop it. I'm going to hurt somebody.
And like, his kids did it.
Put
no
your
time.
Mind to it.
Yeah.
Put your mind to it and just do it, you know? Stop pushing everybody away. Stop acting like a whiny baby. Let, you know, John help you. And instead, it's just, I can't control it.
And that's not really what the story's about. I prefer the stories that are about, like, how do you manage this? How do you, you know, how do the kids take it? How do you, are you good? Are you bad? I also really kind of enjoy, I'm enjoying the Blink and John. Blink, that's her name, right? The girl with the green eyes.
Yeah.
Who can portal people.
Yeah, Carissa.
She has a very interesting storyline right now where she's sort of like, you know, she's sympathetic to the Morlocks. Her boyfriend's not. I don't really understand why John's not sympathetic to Morlocks. It really doesn't make sense. But, you know, she's
jealous,
sort of.
Honestly.
That's really the only reason that makes sense, right? Because otherwise, why is he like, don't go to the Morlocks? And also, why does Carlos hate the Morlocks? Like, they're people that have, you know, I mean,
well,
why wouldn't you go underground
as a
mutant?
Well, I think that's the thing. It's no different than when you look at the Inner Circle versus the Underground versus the Morlocks. You know, you look at the three of them, they're all kind of three sides of the same coin. You know, I know coin doesn't have three sides, but for this analogy, it does.
Yeah.
Because the Morlocks are like, we're going to live underground and be ourselves, you know, and, you know, which John and them, they're like, but you don't get to go outside, you don't get to see the sun, you know, and you brand yourselves, which, you know, they're like, is idiotic, you know, and then you've got the Inner Circle who are like, we're going to take this world for ourselves because we're tired of being treated like garbage, you know? So they're all saying the same thing, but have different methods of what they're willing to do and how they're willing to live. And each side that doesn't see it or agree with it thinks it's wrong, you know?
Blink is a person who gets two parts of it, right? Like, Blink chooses to work with the underground, but she sympathizes to the literal underground. And is like, why can't we all just get along, right? Like, the Morlocks, she's like, let's be friends with them, let's work with them, it kind of doesn't really make sense why John and Carlos don't want to work with the Morlocks, except I think you're right, John is jealous and he thinks that I personally see nothing between Blink and what's his name, the head of the Morlocks, between Clarissa and the head of the Morlocks, Erg. I see nothing between them. I don't know why he's jealous. I don't see any. And I really don't know why Carlos is like jealous on behalf of John. And it's like, oh, Blink, Carlos should be friends with him. Like, it doesn't really. I guess you got to have your brothers back. I know, but it didn't really it didn't really. I felt like.
I don't know.
He overreacted. Like, I get it that he's like, why should you do that? But they chose to do it, and that's their thing. And they, yeah, right.
that's just silly.
Mm-hmm. But I kind of, I feel like they're trying to show different level, like you said, different levels of understanding or rebellion or reaction or whatever the mutants are doing. Like, you've got the people that choose to live underground. You've got the mutant underground. You've got the inner circle. Hey, by the way, the big thing this week was when Lorna and Carlos go to spy on Reva, which I don't even know how they knew that, but they go to spy on Reva and they see her meeting with, I want to call him the Fox News guy. I shouldn't say that, but the guy, the TV guy, the big anti-mutant TV guy, apparently is having a deal with Reva. So I have a theory about that. Do you have any theories about what their deal is? Like, we saw them meeting, they seem to be arguing, and then Lorna and Carlos like, what? And that's where it ended.
Yeah. I have two theories.
I have a theory. Go ahead. Tell me your theory.
The first theory being that Reva's a supporter, or he thinks that Reva's a supporter of his, and she's donating money to his cause and everything, because Reva wants him to go on TV and bash mutants so that she can say, all mutants come help me and we'll stop all this hate and we'll live in a world where there's no more people hating us, because it works.
And so you
her.
Think he doesn't know she's a mutant?
That's one theory. The other theory could be that he does know about it and they're helping each other gain what they want. Because it's a win-win for both of them. There's a way to help each other by she's going she's creating all these crazy things, all this mutant stuff to get people on his side that hate mutants, So it's a win-win for both of them if they're working together. So it's got to be one of the two. I don't think it's
So your theory plays into. So my theory is similar to yours, but my theory goes a little further. I think that he is working with Reva because he wants to encourage a race war or a species war, we're going to call it. I wonder if he could go so far. Could he be a mutant? And could he be on TV fomenting hate to try to create a race war? I mean, that's going a little farther than maybe the show will go. But
that's a very interesting theory. And I like it, if I didn't know who he was in the comics.
Okay. So in the comic, he maybe is not a mutant, but I feel like he is working with her because they both want to have a race war or a species war, or whatever we're going to call it, but I feel like they both want to go to the extreme, and they are working together. It's a little hard to understand because it's kind of like seeing Hitler and Churchill going to have a meeting together to be like, yeah, we want to have a war, let's do it, right? I mean, maybe not quite that extreme that it's Hitler and Churchill, but you know what I mean, right? Like, if they're the two generals of their two sides, and would they really do that? That's why I thought maybe he's a mutant. Maybe he's got his own reasons why he wants to see a race war. But and he's actually like he's undercover, right? He's undercover as a human, but he's secretly a mutant that just wants to talk about hate and make humans hate mutants. I mean, in that this show,
I mean,
you
knows?
Say,
like
does
I
not
said,
track the comics at all.
Right, exactly. Like I just said, I was just going to say, you know, but then again, I've said it before that it's not necessarily tracking the show, so they could pretty much do whatever they want.
Yeah. So that's about it. I got to say, I think this show is maybe one of the best shows that we're watching right now. I mean, it's not the best. It's not Counterpart, right? Counterpart's on a different level, but this show is better than this. The Gifted is, this is another show. Remember how I didn't like The Gifted for the first 2 weeks? And I was like, I'm not watching this show anymore. This show is terrible. And now I really like this show. It's way
right.
better than a lot of stuff on TV. It's better than Manifest. It's better than Night Flyers. It's better than Dagger and Key or whatever that thing is. Cloak and Dagger. Better than Cloak and Dagger. It's better than most of the stuff that's been on TV.
I concur.
And you can watch it with your 12-year-old, and I can watch it, and we can all sort of get it. It's pretty decent.
Exactly.
And we are about halfway through the season with that show, I think. Where are we, 5 or 6 in, right? So getting near the end. Not near the end, but getting halfway through some of the stuff. So, all right. So are we about wrapping it up? Anything else for the show?
I was just going to say, I think that's pretty much it for this week.
Yeah. So I have one thing I would like, one unscheduled thing I'd like to bring up. Did you watch True Detective this week? Do you watch True Detective?
I have not. I watched season one. I thought that was great. I think, did we do the podcast about the first season?
Yes. Season one was really good. Season two was really horrible.
I got like 2 or 3 episodes and I was like, yeah, I'm just not feeling it. Which was surprising because that's when Colin Farrell was like all the rage.
Yeah.
Season two
was terrible. Colin Farrell was terrible. This one was terrible.
So
season three premiered on Sunday.
Yeah, a friend of mine told me it was really good. So I'm considering
it was very good.
I was planning on watching it.
So I brought, it's not the kind of show we cover on Phantom Access. It's not a, you know, sci-fi or anything. It's a straight up like cop mystery show. It was good. I watched the first 2 episodes there Sunday. They were good. Mahershala is good. I bring it up, AJ, because it was preceded by the promo for Game of Thrones.
Oh.
So they showed a new promo for Game of Thrones. HBO announced that Game of Thrones will return on April 14th. Previously, the promos only said spring or only said April, and this was the first one that said April 14th. And I don't know if you've seen it. It was a promo that it was. So this promo was, not any footage that will be shown in the episode. This was admittedly a promo shot to be a promo. You didn't see it with the main characters in the tune.
No,
you didn't see it. Okay. So
no,
I'm going to just recap it really quickly for people. We'll talk about this for like 2 minutes and then end our show. So in this promo, you see Jon, Sansa, and Arya, and they are in the crypts underneath Winterfell, where, you know, underneath Winterfell in the crypt, there's all these statues of all the dead Starks or whatever, right? And they walk past Lyanna Stark's statue, and they walk past all the statues, and they get to the back of the crypt, and they see 3 statues of themselves, of Jon, Sansa, and Arya. Which, of course, you cannot have your statue in the crypt unless you're dead already, right? And they see the 3 statues of themselves, and then they turn around, and the blue mist starts coming in, and it's the mist, you know, from the White Walkers or whatever. And then you see the feather. So, you know, in the tomb, Lyanna holds a feather in her hand, and the feather drops to the ground, and it's frozen. And Jon and Arya take out their swords, and that's the end of it. So, you know, people are analyzing that right and left about what it means for them to be in the tombs and the crypt and to see their own. But it's not footage. It was shot to be a promo, not to be footage from the show.
But it's really simple. It's Karen's favorite thing. It's a dream sequence.
Yes. Yes, it's a dream sequence. It is. And people are saying, like, is it a dream sequence? Is it taking place in Bran as the Three-Eyed Raven? Why is Bran not there? Is he the Raven that's seeing this? But it's not part of the show. It's just a thing, right?
Exactly.
At any rate, it's kind of very exciting that we have a date now, April 14th. And it's kind of very exciting to me to see a promo of the show where we see the three Starks together again, because they haven't been together in a long time. And I didn't have faith that they would be together for the season. Like, I would love to see the season be about, you know, the North and the Starks. Theo also says that there's only 6 episodes this season. They say that all of them are longer than 1 hour. They're calling them 6 feature films. I don't think that means they're all 2 hours, but they're all longer than 1 hour, and they're all like a long story. And we saw the previous promo that had Jamie in it.
Yeah, they're all going to be at least an hour, hour and a half, if not. They're all going to be an hour and a half to an hour and 45 minutes, if not longer.
Yeah.
So.
So we've got 3 months before that starts. We're going to cover that show on this podcast. I'm really excited.
Yes.
And in 3 months, that's plenty of time to read all the books. Reread them before this.
Yeah. I don't know about 3 months, but some people could. Most people probably can't.
I guess, yeah.
Speaking of the books, I don't know. I'm pretty sure Alyssa posted it on Facebook, but if you did you see about what kind of got out that there is a very good chance that George R. R. Martin has been done with Winds of Winter, which is why he's been doing all these other side projects. And the reason he has not
announced
it was because apparently when HBO decided they wanted to do Game of Thrones series, part of the agreement was he was not allowed to release any more books while the show was on.
No, I haven't seen that. Really?
Yep.
Shut up. He's been done with the book
the
and HBO, really,
well,
so really for money, really.
Book. People are theorizing that he's been done with the book because of this stipulation that he's not allowed to release the book until after the show is over.
And that's why he's released all these other, like, he's released a history of Westeros.
Uh-huh.
There's 3 or 4 or 5 prequels in the works that, yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Which is why he had time to do that awful show on Sci-Fi, especially since the book and the show, they've you know, gone in different directions. I guess, you know, I guess the end result is kind of the same, but the thing about it is, I mean, I get what it's messed up by HBO. You know, personally, I would have rather read all the books and then watched the show. I'm still going to watch the show. You know, I'm still going to read the books, but how many people are not going to bother reading his books now because they're large and they've already seen it on TV?
Well, you have read all the books at this point, as have I, right?
Yes.
And you're right. Like, are there people who won't read the books because it's already been the show has revealed L plus R equals J or whatever. And the show will reveal the end game and who sits the Iron Throne. And so do you want to read 2 more 800 page books to learn who sits the Iron Throne when you know who sits the Iron Throne, right?
You already know.
Like, I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. I mean, I probably will and you probably will because there's so much more in the book.
Yes.
And let's say the show, I'm making this up, but let's say in the show, Jon sits the Iron Throne. He won't get there the way he gets there in the book, right?
Right.
So you'll read it, and because you read and I read and we'll like it. But, yeah, I mean, is there a part of you – and there's no way to not watch the show. Like, as a reader of the book, you could try to avoid the show and wait for 2 more books to come. But one more book, Winds of Winter, might come in a year or two. And A Song of Spring could be 5 or 7 or 8 years away. And there's no way you could avoid the spoilers from the HBO show. Right? Like, could you? I don't think you could. Unless you don't go on the internet for the next 8 years.
I was just going to say, you can't avoid the internet. I mean, I do a pretty good job avoiding the internet, but there's no way for that length of time to not get spoiled.
All right. You personally cannot be married to your wife, Alyssa, and avoid spoilers. But most people...
You want to hear something funny? I actually you want to hear something really funny?
Yeah?
This is Walking Dead related. She has a friend of hers who reads the comics also. And, you know, because she Facebooks all the time, she says something about something I don't want to say because in case there's anybody out there who hasn't, you know, caught up on the comics yet. But she says something, and I'm like, I mean, it wasn't huge, but I'm like, shut up. I was like, you know, I read like 5 issues and then forget about it. And then like a couple months later, I'm like, oh, I got a bunch of issues, you know, because reading one issue is like annoying because it's just like, you're done, you know?
Yeah, it's like 12 pages and you're done, yeah.
Yeah. So, like I said, it wasn't a huge, you know, thing that she spoiled for me. But at the same time, it would have been kind of cool to see on my own and experience it. But I knew it was coming, so it was kind of like, eh. You know, I didn't have the same reaction to it.
Mm-hmm.
So then she did it to me again with something
else.
Spoiled
the comic again.
And I'm like, Bliss, cut it out. So this last time, couple weeks ago, she says they killed somebody else pretty major in the comics. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
Actually, no, I take that back. She didn't do it with the comic. It was about a month or two ago. She's like, what are you watching? And I was like, Hawaii 5-0. I was like, can't you tell? We've been to that spot they're showing. And she goes, oh, because she's like, I wanted to know if you saw who they killed in the episode. It's like not a main character, but somebody pretty big. And I was like, really? They killed so-and-so? And she's like, how did you know that from what I said? I'm like, okay, most of your friends are Lost friends. They care about Terry O'Quinn. He's on the show. He's a recurring character. So clearly that's who they just killed.
Yeah.
I was like, thanks.
Your wife is a spoiler. Yeah.
But then recently, you know, like a couple weeks ago, like she's like, they killed somebody else in the comics. And I was like, just stop talking. Don't say anymore. That night, I read it to find out before she did spoil me.
Well, because she doesn't watch the show or read the comics, and yet she manages to spoil it for you.
Exactly. So there you go. So you're right. I would not be able to, you know, I actually tried. I was going to try not watching Game of Thrones last year. Or the last time it was on, because I don't even know what year it was on now. It's been so damn long.
You can't
but
do it because you can't even go. You can't even go on CNN.com or on the Washington Post or the New York Times or whatever. And now there's a headline that says like major death on Game of Thrones, like you know irritates fans, like you know.
And they don't say who. They just show a picture of the person, like The Walking Dead.
There's a picture
on all their articles.
Or they'll say, like, Patriarch dies on Game of Thrones. Like, oh, it was Ned Stark. Yeah, you can't not read the book for the next 8 years. So you have to watch it. I think that, yeah. So April 14th, that's back on. That was, like, the biggest news. I think we're definitely going to cover it. You and me, Jamie doesn't watch the show. And that'll be our big thing for the summer. Not even for the summer.
All
it's going
right.
to come on April. But one last thing.
Yeah,
I read that the reason it's coming back April 14th is to qualify for the Emmys because you have to air your shows before May 31st, right? Did you read that?
Yeah. I heard about that when they first were – people had speculated – that it would be sometime in April because of that reason before they ever announced when they were coming back. So yeah, I had heard that.
Yeah. Apparently you can have like one or two episodes hanging over past May 31st, but in general, your entire series, most of your series has to air before May 31st. So that's why.
All righty.
All right.
All right, everyone. We'll do this again next week, and we'll have maybe more than two shows.
I hope so, yeah. We'll have three at least. All right.
Yeah. All right.
All right, great talking to you. Good night, AJ.
Thanks,
Karen.
Good night, America, and where everybody, if anybody else is listening to outside of this country. Good night.
All right, bye.